progress.
Yeah.
you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this first Sunday in October. We are almost getting to the last quarter of the year. And thank God for this opportunity that God has given us to gather here and also online to worship together. God has given us one more day to live in this world, to be a blessing here. So let us be thankful and grateful for the gift of life and the good health and strength that God has given us in our bodies and in our souls. The announcements are listed in the second page in the bulletins. Those are the regular announcements. The food bank ministry continues. Please donate as in ways of kinds, in cash or in kind. The books are still available. The cooking class, we have a volunteer who wants to do November 16th, the third Saturday of November at 10 o'clock. So please note that in your schedules, and let us join together for a time of learning, cooking and lunch and fellowship on November 16th, Saturday at 10 o'clock. We'll continue to work with the children for the art class. And the third Thursday luncheon will be on October 17 at 1 p.m. at Golden Corral. So please join that also for a time of fellowship and lunch together. Today is World Communion Sunday, where we remember all the believers and people of God in around the world who are celebrating communion. As I have reminded you several times, regardless of all the denominations, Catholics, Protestants, Pentecostals, whatever you name it, you know, Presbyterian, Episcopals, and Methodists or whatever, regardless of what, are all Christians are united by two sacraments. One is baptism and the other is Holy Communion. Everybody observes both of these things. So we are all united by this one Lord's table, and also we remember others around the world as we celebrate this World Communion Sunday today. And everyone is invited to the table for our service. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of your church. Through your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, Lord, God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us to do in this community, to be a beacon of light, of love, and compassion in this community. We accept our donations on our website through credit cards and debit cards and many other options. Please use that opportunity as well for donating your money. Those are the announcements that I have, and Ms. Lou has an announcement.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
October. October, is it on?
No.
October is
Pastor's Appreciation Month. So this month, on the fourth Sunday in October, we'll be honoring the pastor and his wife for the appreciation, show the appreciation for what they have done for us. And I think everybody went around to everybody that's here today. We're asking that you give $20 and sign the card for the pastor. And we have other gifts for the pastor that had already been ordered. So I appreciate that everybody would come and share with us that Sunday to show our pastor his appreciation, how much we appreciate him for what he does for us. I think that's the end of my announcements for today. So I'm asking everybody to, if you have any questions, you can ask me, either Wayne, and I'm sure that you will get an answer for whatever you want to ask. So we're trying to put this together. Most of it is already done. Pastor Nelson and his congregation will also be wishing with us that Sunday. We're going to have a combined service. And he would have a speaker in his place. And we're going to have Austin back again to preach in the pastor's place. Because we don't want him to have to do nothing that Sunday but sit on the bench. And thank you very much for
your time. He's going to have a hard time sitting out there doing
that. I know. We might have to glue him to the bench. I know both of them have a hard time sitting on the bench, but that Sunday
is it's the
last Sunday of the month.
Then
we're going to all eat, so don't forget to bring your dishes.
I'm going to bring my fork.
Well, you can bring your own fork, but you can also bring a dish, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you all for allowing me to serve here. And it's been a blessing to me and my family, and also the Hispanic pastor, Pastor Nelson, and his wife Carmen. They are being a blessing to us as well. And it is an honor to be here to work with him. And also together we'll be worshiping on that Sunday together here. And we'll have two guest preachers, one in Spanish. Hopefully there will be somebody to translate that. And then Reverend Austin will be back preaching on the same Sunday. That is October 27th, last Sunday of this month. So please keep that in our calendars. Any other announcements? Anybody else? If not, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 127, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning that you have given us to gather in your name as your children to worship you here and also online. We thank you for the many blessings that you shower upon us, Lord, in our lives, even though sometimes, many times, we don't deserve them. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you have shown to us through your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world, who died for us, rose from the dead, so that we can have eternity with you. As we remember that God so loved the world that his Son to die for us, we also remember one another and celebrate the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Communion from every culture, every land, every people, and every global situation possible, Lord. Help us to remember that you will never abandon us when we walk through our struggles. On this World Communion Sunday, give us eyes to recognize your reflection in the eyes of Christians everywhere. Give us a mind to accept and celebrate our differences and unite in one spirit so that we can worship you and adore you as your Father. Give us a heart big enough to love your children everywhere. Thank you again for this opportunity that you have given us, Lord, to gather here. Bless us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Touch each and every one of us according to our needs of our hearts, Lord. Above all, we pray for your presence, that we can lift up your name in our singing, in our prayers, in the meditation of the word, in the holy communion that we partake today, Lord, that will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, sir, get up and greet each other in Christian love. The responsive reading now, which is taken from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 20. It's on page 859. If you are able, please stand for the responsive reading, which is Psalm 147.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. A song of praises is fitting.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem and gathers the outcasts of Israel.
The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
The Lord determines the number of the stars and gives to all of them their names.
Great is our Lord, the abundant in power, whose understanding is beyond measure.
The Lord lifts up the downtrodden, but casts the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving.
Make melody upon the lyre of God.
Who covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for earth, makes grass grow upon the hills.
The Lord gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry.
The Lord takes no delight in the might of the horse, nor pleasure in the strength of the runner.
But the Lord takes pleasure in the faithful, in those who hope in the Lord's steadfast love.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise, O God, your God, O Zion.
The Lord strengthens the hearts of your guests. Blesses your children in your midst.
Makes peace in your borders. Fills your with the finest wheat.
The Lord sends forth commands to the earth. The word runs swiftly.
The Lord gives snow like wool. Scatters hoarfrost like ashes.
Cast forth ice like morsels. Who can withstand its cold?
The Lord sends forth the word and melts them, makes the wind blow and the waters flow.
The Lord declares the word to Jacob, the statutes and ordinances to Israel.
The Lord has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know God's ordinance.
Praise the Lord.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. It is our prayer time now, where we bring our prayers of blessings and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we bring our concerns and burdens together as a church family to share with each other and also with our Heavenly Father. And God's promise is that He will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. So the regular prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin in those prayer boxes. Please continue to pray for these people and these items listed there. And the good news, I heard that Miss Jean McPrayer is back home from the rehab. So that is great news. And Miss Linda is working on her to bring her back to church. So that's another rehab. So that's good. So, yeah, she is very weak, and I think it is getting better. Once you are in the 90s, you never know, you know. I'm glad that she's still bold enough to get around and talk, and she has a sense of humor every time we talk to her. Mm-hmm. Thanks be to God for all her grace and faith. Let's keep her in our prayers and her family members also. Pray for Barbara Casey, Harry Bezor, Carol Clements, Claudia, Jerry, and Lou Hughes. Lou is with us today. Carol is not. Wayne said she is not feeling better this morning. So please keep her in our prayers. And also please pray for all those caregivers who are with them, taking care of them, that God will give them the grace and the patience during this time. Pray for those who are affected by the storm in a couple of weeks, and also there's another one coming around Florida. Let's pray that God will keep them safe. And also for those who are affected by, even in our state, many are still homeless, without power, in the Augusta and the east side of the state. So keep them in our prayers. And also pray for the relief workers and many aspects of the works that they are doing to restore power, to give them supplies of food and all of that. So keep all of them in our prayers, and also let us donate as much as we can. There are so many opportunities online. We can find how we can donate food or any other items. Just do a Google search, Helene, Storm Helene Relief Work. We will see a lot of churches and Red Cross and many shelters. So please do that if you have the opportunity to do it. Let us pray for our nation, the leaders of the country, the president, and our leaders of the Congress and governors and many others, especially during this election year, that we can have a good, peaceful election. And also we are will be united after the election to be the leader of the world as God has destined us to be. So let's pray for the leaders and the election and our country for a peaceful election, and the right leaders will be elected at the right positions. Let's also pray for world leaders, especially during this time of war and many other problems going around the world. Let's pray that world leaders will also be guided by God's Spirit, that they will make the right decision that will also bring peace to this world. Let's pray for our church and the opportunity that God has given in this community to be His witness, so that we can be faithful in the work we do. Pray for the leaders of the church in around this area, the pastors, and many others around the world who are working in God's vineyard as missionaries in many difficult parts of the world. Let us also remember them in our prayers and pray for them regularly. Those are the prayer requests that I have. Any special prayer requests to call out? If there are no other call outs, let us go to God in prayer. We will spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then we'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, bring your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Gracious and loving God, we come before you as your children. We thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings that you shower upon us. Thank you for the good health and strength you have given us in our bodies and many other physical and material and spiritual blessings that you give us, Lord. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Lord, we come before you as your children with full of gratefulness and thanksgiving in our hearts. Many of us are coming before you as broken people, Lord. We are broken in our bodies, in our souls, and in our spirit. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. We trust in your promise that we come before you to renew our strength, Lord. When we find ourselves weak, you strengthen us in our body and in our spirit. When we are lonely, you are our friend, O God. And when we go through life's grief and loss, you give us peace that is everlasting that the world cannot give us. Thank you again for being with us in our times of grief and comfort, grief and pain. Grant us healing to our bodies, Lord, especially we pray for healing for those that we have lifted up during our prayer time. We pray for your continued recovery and healing for Miss Jean as she is back home from the rehab. We pray for your grace upon her and strengthen her body and spirit, Lord. Strengthen her in her body so she can come back to church and worship together with us if it is your will. We pray for Barbara and Harry and Carol and Claudia, Jerry and Lou. We pray for your continued healing upon them, Lord. Above all, we pray for peace for them and their family members. We pray for those who are taking care of them in many ways, Lord. Their dear ones who care for them, we pray for your grace and patience to be them, Lord, to be with them. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks, and our delivery people, many, many others who serve us on a daily basis, Lord. We thank you for their services and we pray for their safety and their family's safety. We pray for our nation, Lord, as we go through an election year. We pray for your grace and your spirit to pour out through this land, Lord. We pray for our president, leaders of the Congress and the governors and many others who make decisions, that they will be guided by the power of God and the Holy Spirit, that they will make the right decisions. And Lord, we pray for a peaceful election, that a unified and united nations again, united country, that we can lead again as you have given us, Lord, the leadership. We pray for your grace upon all those who are being elected, for your grace, the right people will be elected at the right places, Lord. We pray for our church and thank you for this opportunity that you gave us in this community to be your witness. Help us to continue the ministry faithfully, Lord, with the Hispanic church and the pastor there also. We pray for your grace upon them. Help us, Lord, to work together to share your love and care and compassion to all the people, the needy people around us. We pray for all the churches in this community, the pastors and the leaders of the church, the bishops, many, many others. And we pray for the world church at large, especially during this Holy Communion Sunday, that we celebrate World Communion. We remember all of your folks around the world, Lord. Bless us together, Lord, in this world to be your witnesses in whatever way is possible, that we can share your love to this world. Bless us today, Lord, as we worship you in truth and in spirit. In our Holy Communion that we partake today, we pray that your name will be lifted up, that we are reminded of the sacrifice that you have given us with your life so that we can have eternal life to share with you. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord. Touch each and every one of us with your word as we listen to your word. Empower us with your spirit so that we can be witnesses for you wherever you place us. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory. please stand for the Lord's Prayer. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you. With a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you give, you will be measured back to you." Loving God, we come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord, as you have blessed us with. Help us, Lord, to use all opportunities, including our finances, to glorify your name. You are the source of all that we have and we are. You are merciful and gracious that you give us everything, Lord. Above all, help us to understand that in Jesus Christ, you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Gracious Lord, we pray for those who are all here today and those who were able to give today. And we also pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world and in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we will read the scripture now as we remain standing, which is taken from the Second Kings, the book of Second Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6.
Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word. We come before your word with a humble heart and obedient spirit, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to receive the word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls that we can understand the meaning of the message. We pray for your grace on each and every one of us, Lord, and according to our needs of our hearts, Lord. As we meditate on your word, open our souls so that we can receive it and filled with the power of the word and the power of the spirit so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in different ways wherever you place us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The passage that we read today from 2 Kings is about the story of a little girl who was taken captive by the invaders from Syria. So that's what happening. This happened around 9th century BC, in somewhere around 850 to 860 BC, when the kingdom of Israel was divided, and I have mentioned that story before many times. After the rule of Solomon, David's son, the kingdom was divided into northern kingdom and southern kingdom. Southern kingdom remained to be known as kingdom of Judah, and the other tribes were in the north. The other 11 tribes were in the north. They were called the Israel or the northern kingdom. And they eventually were attacked by many, many other countries and other emperors, and eventually they got scattered all over the world. That's how the spreading of the Jews happened all over the world. And this happened when Aram that you see there, the commander of the army of King Aram. Aram means Syria, the present-day Syria. So the kingdom of Syria attacked Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, and they took over the land. And along with that, they took over a lot of people. And that happens all the time when they invade other countries. They take people. And one of the girls, one of the people that were taken as captive and taken over to Syria from Israel was this little girl. And there is no name given in this passage anywhere who that was. But it was a little girl, a Hebrew girl, a Jewish girl, that was taken as a captive by the Syrian army. And they took her over to Syria, Aram. And then she was given a job to be in the housemaid, as a housemaid in the captain of the military. So that was her job. A little girl with taken away from her parents and her family to be in a foreign land and serving a foreign military captain as a housemaid, serving many things in their house. And we talked about Esther, we talked about Joseph, and this is another character that I wanted to bring out, that how God works in various mysterious ways. There is a famous hymn that I have preached about that says about God works in mysterious ways. If we look at our lives, I don't have to tell you how mysterious can certain things be. You know, how God works together mysteriously and puts them together as puzzle pieces of a big plan. See, we often think that God is like us. A lot of times we think like God thinks like us. In many ways, God is not. God is not like us. And thank God He is not like us. Because if He were like us, we wouldn't be here. But God is so gracious and loving. And He is not like human beings. And sometimes with our limited sense of thinking, we try to box God in our brain and think that God is sometimes limited to human thoughts. He is not. He reverses all of our expectations many times. When God wants to make something, He doesn't need any material. Unlike human beings, you cannot make anything from nothing. Right? But God can make things out of nothing. In fact, when we look at the creation, God said, let it be. Let there be this, let there be that. And all it came to being from nothing. By the word of God, everything was created. That's what the Bible says, and that's what we believe. So God can make something out of nothing, and God can also can make mysterious things about people. And this little girl, nothing wrong with her. She didn't do anything bad, or she didn't deserve this, as we have talked about Joseph and Esther and all the stories that we have discussed before. This girl didn't deserve it, and according to our standards of justice, God was unfair in that case. But how God makes things work together from opposites. And she was taken to this enemy land and living in a military captain's house. If human beings like you and me, we would feel very bitter. We would not be happy because we were, you know, taken away, plucked away from our neighbors, our family, our friends. As a little child, you're taken away, she should have every reason to be bitter. But God works together even though we don't think that way. Right? With God, opposites work together to become good things and blessings. For example, God makes the strong. God brings out the strength of people from our weaknesses. Many times when we find ourselves weak, God empowers us and make us do things that we thought we could never do. So that is that God works. He makes strength and power from weakness. And from death, he brings life. And we know about the story of Easter. The death does not make the end of our lives. There is life after death because he rose from the dead. God is not you and I want him to be, who you think we want God to be. He specializes in using nothing to make something, and something great. So in this story of this little girl who was taken to a different country, she made a big part of the story as the hero. Many times there's only one or two sentences about this little girl, what she did. But all the other stories talks about how Naaman went to Israel and got healed and all the things that he had. But there was only very little mention about this little girl. But I think among all these characters that we see in this story, she is the hero of the story. Because even with her condition as a captive, every reason to be mad and angry and irritated, she was pleasant. And she actually acted upon the circumstances that she got during that time. When she went there to the house of this captain, she found out a big problem with her master. He had leprosy. Leprosy is like Hansen's disease. This was in those days, there was no cure for it. And if you look at the history and we read in the Bible that those who had leprosy confirmed are supposed to be isolated outside the city. They are not allowed inside the community. So that was the kind of disease. It's kind of COVID sometimes, I think. But this is COVID, probably you'll get over it eventually in a few weeks. But there is no cure. And most people died in those colonies of leprosy. So that's what happened to this captain of the army. Even though he was of power, and he was full of power as the military captain, he had leprosy. And he was struggling with that. And his family was struggling with that. Even though, because it was not in the part of Israel, but they were Syria, so they were not isolated or anything. They could do their jobs there. But in the part of Israel, they will be isolated. So this girl found out that there has to be an option for this man. Even though he was an enemy captain, even though she was taken out of her family, out of her will, she was not hating her. She was full of hate or anything. She thought about this man's condition, and she thought about a prophet in Israel called Elisha. She heard a lot of things about that prophet who used to heal people. And she went to the wife of this captain and told her, you know, if the master would go to Israel and Samaria, there is a prophet there. He might be able to help him. And that was one thing that she did, and she made the whole situation turn around because of her act of kindness and compassion. So this teaches me and you the story that even when we go through situations where we don't feel like we belong to that place, there is a purpose for that if you look closely. If you look around, you will find a purpose that God has placed you there. This little girl could have just ignored it. You know, she did not have to say anything, especially in a situation like that. She didn't know if she would be listened to, or she would be ridiculed, or she would probably even be killed. Who knows? As a foreign girl suggesting this to a military captain's wife. But she took the step, and she was brave enough to go and tell them that there is a story that you can follow, that I can tell you from my experience that I heard. And I experienced, as in my family, in my land, there is a prophet who could probably heal you. As we Christians are placed in many situations, in painful situations that we may not like, remember that God has a purpose behind it. If we open our eyes and look around, there will be needy people that need you. Even though you are not in good shape, you can still be a blessing to others if we look around. We sometimes think that we are the worst when we are going through some bad times. Believe me, there are worse people who are in worse situations than we are. Consider all the things that we enjoy. Look at the storm that passed by. It is not because of our merits that we got saved from it. It is not because they did something wrong that the people were affected by it. It is all because of nature or the sin that is pervading this world, that is a corrupted world. Things happen. But we are placed in situations like these to be God's arms and feet, to share his love and care and compassion to other people who are in need. So this servant girl told this captain's wife, and the wife told the captain, and the captain probably didn't think big of it, but anyway, there's nothing to lose because there is no cure for it. So he went to the king and asked if I can go to Israel and see this prophet. And the king gave the permission for this captain to go to Israel, and then he got healed. And that story comes next. I'll share that later on what happened after that. But that's the whole gist of the story. But this little girl is a hero, and she's not a victim, if you ask me. Many times we consider that her to be a victim. But she's not a victim, but she's the hero of the story. When you find yourself as a victim and you think that you're a victim of something, remember, God wants you to be a hero. You may not like it sometimes. It may be painful to go through these things. But God is going to be using you if you open your eyes and look around. There will be opportunities that you can step up and do God's work wherever you are. And you will be the hero, and that God wants you to be the hero. She did not dwell on her terrible fate and was he should not have a pity party there and saying that, oh, what kind of situation that I am in. But this captive girl was able to show remarkable compassion to her master. This young girl had every reason to be bitter, but she chose to be otherwise, to be compassionate and to be good and loving. So she has a caring and compassionate heart. And also, she had a plan for the healing of her master. Sometimes we are afraid to talk about our testimony to other people, how God has healed us, how God has given us deliverance from our situations. How many times are we bold enough to go and share our stories to our friends, our neighbors, our people at work, in our school? We are not many times. We are very shy, even though we know that we got to share that. But this girl was not shy. She was not afraid to share the story of her faith, that there is a prophet that can help you. That is our mission too. In our situations, wherever we are to share the love of Christ to others as Christians. And also we are to be courageous enough. We have to have the courage to share that love. It would have been easy for this girl to be silent. She was very young and a slave, and she lived in a land where her voice did not carry much weight. Speaking up could have given her some trouble eventually, but even in spite of all of those things, she didn't think about all of those things. But despite all of those threats, she boldly spoke about the prophet of Samaria, and he was able to send Naaman over there and got the healing that he needed. If you have read about the story of Corrie ten Boom, she was one of those little girls who was in a similar situation during the Nazi conquest of the Jews. She was also taken after her family got killed in front of her eyes. She was also taken to the camp, the military camp of the Nazis, prison camp during that time, during the Second World War. Corrie suffered in the prison, but would tell as many people about the possibility of a future, that there will be deliverance. In the midst of that concentration camp, where most people gave up their hope, and most people thought there was no future for them because they were treated badly. And the barrack 28, that was the barrack that she was in with many hundreds of people that were in that concentration camp. And I read that story, that in that barrack concentration camp, in the, at the entrance of that camp, there was a big wasp nest full of wasps. And they, in addition to the miserable life that they had, this wasp nest was also making their life miserable. So many people started complaining and, you know, what kind of situation that we are in spite of we are being captive and prisoners here, this wasp and all these things. But in Corrie Ten Boom's biography, autobiography, she writes, because that wasp nest was placed there by God. Because of that wasp nest, the soldiers would not come to their barrack. They come to all the other barracks, check them out and treat them with bad things and all. But because of this big wasp nest out there, they come there and they turn around and go back. So that gave them some more freedom to be in that barrack. That's how where she started a Bible study in that group. And a lot of people gathered there and they found peace during the time of their captivity there in their unhappy situation. Corrie Ten Boom, you can look it up on the internet and read the whole story. It's a real story of a little girl, how she witnessed for God's work in a concentration camp, in the Nazi prison camp. So even in our circumstances like this, where this little girl was a captive in a foreign land, she used that opportunity to step up for her faith and declare to the community that there is a prophet in Israel. That is our mission. And I always wondered why this military captain and his people believed this little girl from a foreign land. Why did they believe her? Because I think it is because of her credibility. As a person of faith, they saw her in something that she can be believed. That is what we ought to be as people of God. When people look at us, are they looking at us as people who are credible people? Are we witnessing to the credibility and the love of God so that they will trust us with their lives? That is what Christians are supposed to be. Credible people witnessing to the love of Christ, for the love of Christ to the others. So as people of God, in whatever situations that we are placed in, God has given us an opportunity to be his witness. And I have shared this story about A Transforming Friendship, a book that is written by Leslie Weatherhead. It's about a recent story about when the Armenian Christians were tortured by the Muslims in Armenia. A similar situation happened. This was recent, in the 1990s. A girl was taken hostage and taken over to the enemy prison camp. Eventually, she escaped from that prison and went into a British military camp and got refuge in the British camp. And they took her as an asylum and gave her asylum, and eventually she was trained on becoming a nurse in the British military. And the British won the war eventually, and there was British military hospital set up in those war zones. And she was trained as a nurse and assigned to one of those military hospitals. And one night, as she was doing her work, she saw something strange. A man was brought into the ambulance in a stretcher. And then she opened her eyes and realized who it was. And she didn't want to believe her eyes. It was that guy who actually treated her badly when she was taken as a hostage. The military leader who abused her physically and mentally and tortured her. And she was the ward nurse. And she, you know, as a human being, what would you do to somebody who had treated you that cruelly? She had every opportunity to take revenge at her. And when he was admitted in the hospital, she took every care on him. And when he got consciousness, she asked him, "Do you remember me?" And he said, "No, I don't remember you." And she shared the previous story with him, and everything came back to him in his memory. And he asked her one thing: "Why did you save me? You could have pulled a tube on that night and I would be gone, the ways that I have treated you." She said, "Because I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in one who has given his life for his enemies. And that's what I believe. And that's what I want to practice, to follow Jesus' steps as his child, I would never hurt or harm anybody, even my enemies. And I am continuing to pray for you so that you can also become a Christian. And eventually he turned and his life and became a Christian after that. Even with the worst of circumstances in our lives, God has a purpose for it. So let us not be bitter, but let us be grateful for everything that we go through, because God works together for good to them that believe in his grace. So as we come to this communion table today, let us come with a humble heart, surrendering our lives to God, committing our lives to God, that God will use us in the opportunities that he gave us so that we can be his witnesses for his love to others. May the good Lord bless us with these words. Please follow the laminated sheets on the communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you gave us eternal life to all those who believe in Jesus. So with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself for us, he took the bread, and he broke the bread and gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of this, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. This is the Lord's table. All are All are invited to join this table. It's an open table. Please come and join the table as the ushers guide you. Let us give thanks to God for this holy mystery, through which God has blessed us and united us together at this Lord's table. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery, the Lord's table that you have given us to share as your children, as one body united in one spirit. You have given yourself to us that we remember your sacrifice for us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give you ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Pastor Nelson will also pray.
Señor, mi Dios, le damos gracias en esta mañana por ser nuestro Dios. Gracias porque usted es bueno. Gracias por este hermoso recordatorio que usted nos da de tomar su Santa Cena. Recordándonos que un día la tomaremos juntos con usted. Gracias por la comunión que tenemos entre las dos iglesias y estar todos juntos como un solo cuerpo en Cristo. Nos ponemos en sus manos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
The closing hymn is hymn number 369. In the Blue Book, Blessed Assurance. In the Spanish hymnal is 462. If you are able, please stand.
My story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, heart is my prayer, I is my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, gathering His goodness, lost in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
People of God, the scripture says that everything works together for good for those that love God. As we live here today, may we be inspired by the examples of these heroes of faith to act with compassion and to speak with courage and trust that God can use even the smallest acts of faith to bring about his purpose. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.